Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Merry Christmas and welcome back. This is Kevin Fields, President, CEO of LCCC, and excited to bring you this week's episode of Russell on the Move. I must admit, going into this show, the mood is mixed. On one hand, it's a somber day. On the other hand, it's a day of excitement, and I'm going to qualify that in just a moment. But first, let me acknowledge that my friend and co-host is in the studio with me, Herbert Johnson. Good morning, Herbert.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing well. We've got a great show lined up for today for our listening audience. We want our audience to know you can be a part of the conversation. Just hit us up by calling the number 502-571-1240. We've got another conversation where we're going to talk about economic empowerment. And it reminds me that last week we had a great show with Robert Byers III of Woodforest National Bank, talking about the Woodforest Foundry. And we were talking about advancing economic empowerment through entrepreneurship. We're going to have a 12-week entrepreneurial training course starting in February, sponsored by Woodforest National Bank and led by LCCC. And we want our listening audience to know, if you missed that show, you can go out on our website and check in again to hear that podcast. Today we're going to be advancing equity by talking about minority contractor inclusion and diversity and equity. And we're excited about our guest. We're going to now introduce them in just a moment. But, you know, Herbert, I mentioned that it's a mixed bag of emotion this week. We experienced death in the family at LCCC. First and foremost, we want to pay homage and give a tribute to Trina Tinsley, who was our vice president and comptroller, who lost her sister. And we're praying for her and her family. The services are tomorrow at 80 Porter. And also, it's sad to announce to our listening audience, we lost a person that's really integral to our work at LCCC in the form of Brother Ben Ruiz. Many people in our community know Ben, co-owner of Ad Hoc's Advertising, an advertising guru, and a great entrepreneur himself, him and his wife, Sonia. And we're praying for Sonia and the kids and the rest of the family as they mourn the loss of Ben, and we continue to mourn his loss as well. And also want to acknowledge Destiny Chandler, our Vista leader, who is integral to this show as well. She helps us to produce this show each week, and she lost her grandmother. And so we are, again, sending our prayers and condolences to those families as they go through that and as we continue to mourn with them. So yeah, Herb, you know, it's been that kind of a week. But there is a moment of excitement because tonight there will be a Miracle on Main Street.
I like that, Kevin. Miracle on Main Street, all right.
Yeah, there will be a Miracle on Main Street when the University of Louisville Cardinals take on the University of Kentucky Wildcats. The upset of the decade is about to happen, and we're excited about that. So go Cards. We're ready. We'll be in the house. We're going to be cheering on the Cards, cheering on Coach, and so on. So we're going to certainly cheer up after a while and get excited about the game that's coming. But I want to get right into our show because we have our distinguished guest who's in the studio with us and on the line with us, Brother Vincel Anthony and Brother Carl Brazely with the 7 p.m. group, LLC, are with us. And we're going to talk about the idea of advancing equity for minority contractors in our community. Another condition that we're looking to impact from a leadership standpoint, a condition that still plagues us, this whole idea of being excluded, historically speaking and systemically speaking, it's still too prevalent. So we're going to talk about that. So we're going to get our welcome our guests, Vincel and Carl, who are experts in this work that are giving us great leadership. And we'll start with you, Vincel. You're on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing well, brother. Glad you could be here today on the broadcast. And like Vinny, if you don't mind, give our listening audience a little bit of bio on yourself, personally, professionally, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Vincel Anthony, and I am the president of the 7 p.m. group. And as you mentioned, I think a little bit earlier, as you at least you were leaning in that direction, we are a DEI consulting firm and construction management firm. Been in this capacity for about 3 or 4 years, quite frankly, 4 or 5 years, working with my partner, Carl Brazely, trying to strategically penetrate the Louisville and the state of Kentucky area with minority contractor involvement and participation on capital projects and a litany of other things. Our space, our footprint goes as far west as St. Louis, as far north as Indianapolis, as far east as Cincinnati, and as far south as Nashville. Prior to that, the corporate background in IT, on the business development front, traveling around the country as an IT consultant in a variety of different capacities at the executive level, from high level IT security related activity to going way back to being years ago on UPS's international Y2K team. So that's kind of the corporate background. And a WKU graduate, have my master's in IT, and happily, you know,
go
married
tops.
To Dr. Yes, sir.
You got a few
yes,
top, sir. Few hilltoppers in
go,
here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Go tops. Absolutely. And then on the personal side, man, happily married to my wife, Dr. Tanya Anthony, and then three awesome kids, Niera, VJ, and Vinny. And the two boys are college football players. VJ's at Moorhead, tight end, and Vinny's a wide receiver at University of Wisconsin, man. So that keeps me super, super busy. And I
yeah, you're on the road a lot, I bet.
A whole lot, brother. Yes, sir. Very, 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 very busy. And then one last splash would be a member at Bates Memorial Baptist Church, man, and love my church family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Your pastor, Reverend F. Bruce Williams, was a guest here a few months ago, and we love him dearly as well. So, thank you so much. And I'm going to come back here to Carl. Carl's in the studio with us. Good morning, Brother Carl.
Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, welcome back, brother. I know you were here just a few weeks ago with us as we were honoring Daryl Drake, and so glad to have you back. Talk about 7 p.m. and other related topics. But you need no introduction. However, we're going to do you the honor anyway. But how about just giving a quick refresher? What's the latest in your world?
Well, I'm not going to be as eloquent as Vincel, but my partners, he mentioned with him and 7 p.m. group. Grew up in Newburgh. Yay, go Newburgh. Great state of Newburgh. But spent a lot of time on 37th and Broadway, too, so a shout-out to West Louisville. Went to Western Kentucky, graduate there, degree in marketing. Let's see, what else? Working with Vincel for a while, I have two kids and four, soon to be five grandchildren, all boys. And the one that on his way is going to be a boy. My daughter and her two sons and her husband, they live in D.C. She's a lawyer. My son lives here in Louisville. He has two little boys and with his wife, and he's a tech specialist. He works with us part-time. He's developed our AI platform and is working with us on several different platforms there. Man, just blessed, member of First Baptist Church in Jeffersontown, go FBCJ. Mm-hmm. My pastor, Reverend Morrow. Even though we're going to have to talk, he's a Packers fan, but I work on him on that part. But anyway, I'm just man, proud to be here with this distinguished group, Herb Johnson, yourself. And I want to put one more shout out, like congratulations to the Hilltoppers for winning their bowl game. Amen. They had to pull it out in overtime, but they did it. So,
Go Tops.
Yeah, so go Tops, all you got top fans out there.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate that. And you know, I've known both of you guys for many, many years, and you're veterans as professionals in our community. And I was excited when you guys joined forces and created 7 p.m. But the name of the company is catchy, 7 p.m. Group. Can you guys, either one of you, talk about the significance of the name and how that brand represents your work?
Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, the number 7 is a number of completion, the number of perfection, if you will. Biblically based is where that number 7 comes from, and the PM is project management. And Carl, if you want to elaborate, I'll let you do that as well. It also happened to be Carl's football number when he was a professional football player up there in Canada, and not just a professional football player, but Carl's actually in the Canadian Hall of Fame. So that number 7 has several meanings to it.
So that's a subtext. But anyway, now, so as Vincel mentioned, both of us are strong faith believers in our respective churches and communities. And you know, everything we do is, we try to take directions from the Lord. We pray and read scripture before our meetings. We just believe that we're God-directed. And so whatever we do, we want to make sure that we give him honor. And so, as Vincel said, 7 is the biblical number of completion. And so for 7 p.m. is complete project management. What we try to do, we don't just try to do it and go in and just do our scope. We try to do solve problems and be the best consultants we can be for whoever we're working for. So we try to do above and beyond, you know, whatever we're called and asked to do. And also just add real quickly, we're passionate about the minority community, business community, and everything that goes on there and everybody who works with it. So as much as we can, we try to preach from the pulpit of inclusion and working together. It's one of the things that we feel like that has been overlooked. And through history, we've been systematically taught to not trust and work together. So part of our whole existence and us just coming together is to erase that and try to be example of inclusion and working together and being an advocate for minority businesses, not just black, but minority businesses, small businesses, for them to work together and be inclusive.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, and Herbert, I think that's exciting, don't you? That it's great when you can be in business yet serving a higher purpose, serving God. And I just think that's phenomenal.
Great. Absolutely, Kevin. It's just a matter of, you know, staying in touch with God. You know, everything's going to be to the point where, like Carl said, helping others and inclusion, being whoever it may be, it's very important to the business and to the community. So it's good to hear that Carl and see Carl, what he's doing, him and Vincel with the 7-Up group. And there's a lot going on in the community. I'm hoping to see a lot more people involved with that.
Yeah, and y'all know Herb's been in the beverage business for a long time. So 7-Up is it's part of the DNA.
Yes, that's what when I first heard it, I said, man, he's 7-Up now. I'm going to go back to work.
We might have to make a name change.
Yeah, that's great. So, guys, let's talk about, the economic landscape here in this market around minority contracting. And because there's a lot of work going on, and I hear Vincel talking a lot about these multi-billion dollar sometimes projects. And when you add them all up, there's literally billions of dollars being administered to build up our built environment. And we're always talking about how minority contractors need to be empowered. And let's talk about the current landscape, though. How do you guys see that? And what kind of challenges stand out as we, you know, address the concerns?
Let me start off, V, and then you. I know you got a bit to say, so I'm gonna get mine out the way. I'm gonna take a slightly different approach to this. So you know, a few weeks back at the Norton beam raising ceremony, our governor was there, and he announced that, you know, through him and his cabinet, they had brought 27 point some amount billions of dollars of new business to the state of Kentucky. So shout out to the governor in terms of creating opportunities, but I want to challenge the rest of his cabinet. He's doing his job, right? Now I want to challenge everybody else in the community to make sure that the minority community gets their fair share. So it's one thing to get the business here, you know, and that's what leaders do, but we got to go farther than that, and we got to challenge everyone else. Like the rest of his cabinet, the different departments, we got to challenge the other major businesses that are in town, to do the job as well. You know, he was at the Norton's, and Norton's is doing an outstanding job of investing in West Louisville and, you know, trying to make sure minority companies, but you can't do it with one business that, you know, inspect things that happen. You got to be intentional. It ain't going to happen by just happenstance. It ain't going to happen by luck. You can't just talk about it. And we're at the point now, we have enough education, we've come down the road. You're not going to impress us or sway us by telling us what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. If companies aren't getting checks, that's the measurement now. So for all the universities, for all the major corporations, for all the major development, for the 27 point whatever billion dollars worth of new business from the north end of the state to the east, west, and south ends of the state throughout this whole state, we are growing. And there's no excuse. None's going to be wanted. None's going to be accepted by minority businesses. Can't have a rightful share in this. We got billion-dollar projects all over, almost billion, hundreds of million dollars. We got hospitals. We got major advances going on to universities, to major, you know, batteries and plants and other things going on. We want to see local businesses, statewide businesses. We just want to see them get their share. And there's no excuse. None accepted, none wanted. There's no excuse why minority businesses can have their fair share in that part. So for me, I'm just going to speak, I'm not even going to say for the whole 7 p.m. group, but even though that's pretty much how we roll, but I'm just saying for me, I think that these major companies and organizations, they ought to take it upon themselves. If you're smart enough and strong enough and to grow your businesses like that, then you're also strong enough and you ought to challenge your people to make sure they hit these other indicators to make sure that they're being inclusive with women and minority-owned businesses.
Yeah. Vinny, you want to add anything to that on what Carr said about the landscape? And the jobs are plentiful, the work is plentiful, but how do we address some of the challenges around minority inclusion? Let me ask this question, just kind of tweak the question a little bit. Carl talked about making, you know, part of the objective is to make sure our minority contractors get their fair share. What is the fair share? Talk about that. What do you think the fair share for minority inclusion is on major construction projects?
Well, on a national level, the deemed percentage that's appropriate for your average size metropolitan, which Louisville is, and it's the only one in the state of Kentucky, being Metro Louisville is right at about 1.2 million. those numbers are right at 15% for minority participation and 8 to 10% woman business-owned participation would be an expected and realistic number. And those numbers can fluctuate. That 15 can slide back to 12 for the M, meaning minority, and the W can slide back from 10, slide back potentially in some cases down to about 7. But those are rough numbers. And that percentages of every dollar, you basically have about 15% of that dollar should go towards the minority business community.
Okay, so 10 to 15%, whether you're women-owned or minority-owned. So let's talk about the health. Let's do a checkup. How are we faring against that goal? What is the reality? Are we seeing 10% go to women? Are we seeing 15% go to minorities?
No.
Okay, so, and what's the challenge to that if that's not happening?
You know, I think the challenge is really simple. You got to be intentional. I mean, like I could elaborate, but I think everybody gets it. Things don't happen unless you plan for them to happen. And just saying you hope they happen, all that, there's too many examples of when we wanted to make something happen, excuse me, around this state, around the city, when we put our mind to do something, whatever we put our mind to do, we accomplish. And so to me, for it not happening means we haven't been intentional. Not at the city level, not at the state level, not at the corporate level, not at no level. We haven't been intentional to say that that's what we're going to do, so now let's do it. Because anytime we do that, we accomplish our goal. When we wanted to open up Third Street or do whatever, we did it. Anything else we wanted to create, park systems, we did it. Everything else that we want to do that we said we were intentional to do, we have accomplished. But that's one thing we haven't accomplished, and we keep acting on as if it's so difficult we can't do it. I think it, long and short is we just have to be intentional about making it happen.
Yeah, and you guys are intentional.
Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, Kevin, excuse me there. If it's okay, I just want to add a little bit.
No, go ahead,
there, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The commentary that I would add there as it relates to, you know, reaching the goal, it's at its core, it has the entity that has to be intentional is the owner. It's 100% about the owner of the project. The general contractor is beholden to the owner. The subcontractors on any job, whether it's a multi-billion dollar bridge, it really doesn't matter. The onus, if you will, is on the owner. So if the owner really leans into the fact that they want to see certain numbers met, they can call them goals, they can call them requirements, they can put whatever language they want. But if the owner really wants to see urban minority participation on projects, all they have to do is let the community know that, and we can find ways to make that happen. There's lots of excuses that are pushed out there, but the reality is we've been able to successfully do it way too many times, whether we talk, make reference to the Urban League track and successfully doing that project with the percentage numbers being way up at 40 and 50% minority participation. If we look at the massive Shawnee High School project that took place a few years ago, several $40 million project far exceeded the goals. And there's multiple projects throughout, to be honest, JCPS, where we're boldly being able to say with confidence, yes, we reached this goal, even though this project is $10, $20, $30 million. MSD, another one, project after project, those are being met. So the challenge is, in my opinion, you have to put the onus on the owner. Are you serious when it comes to reaching these minority participation goals? Because if you are, you're the one writing the check, everyone will listen to you. If you're not, you stay quiet, you don't mention it, and it goes on in the bucket of business as usual. And as they say, some folks who say the good old boys, and the good old boy is just using your friends, the folks that you know, the folks that you're familiar with. And again, if they happen to not be minority, your participation numbers are going to be very, very low.
Vincel, let the listening audience understand, what is the general contractor? And you said they have to, they're the owner. So explain that a little bit so everybody would know exactly.
You said they represent the owner. They work for the owner.
Yeah. Right, they work for the owner, right? Yeah. So are they responsible for the minority participation, or is it the owner? Both, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's not the general contractor. It's not both. It's in my opinion, so in the capacity that we sit in, it's the owner.
Okay.
The owner of the project. That's who is responsible for it. It's equivalent to if I want to have a driveway repaved at my house. I'm the owner of the house, so I can say to whoever I hire to do my driveway, I need you to have 15% minority participation as you do my driveway.
Got it. Okay.
You know,
right.
I'm making it that simple. And so the general contractor happens to be, and of course, Kevin and you guys all know all this stuff. That happens to be the primary. Sometimes they'll use that word as a synonym in terms of general contractor. That's just the primary contractor. The prime on the job is the one that reports who's going to get the big check from the owner to execute and do the job. And typically, that primary contractor will hire out several other firms, which they call subcontractors, to do various other parts of the job. So that's kind of the hierarchy. It's owner. Under the owner is usually a primary contractor, or some may call it a general contractor. Then a tier up under that is usually a litany of subcontractors.
Let me to interject real quickly. And I'm going to throw a name out there because it's been so exceptional, and that's the Norton West Louisville Hospital project. And this is a prime example of, like a lot of projects, they say, hey, we want to hit these goals, we're going to set them, whatever. But this was the exception. At every turn, when people could have went left, the owners, through their project manager, which was Anthony Mathis, he held our feet to the fire. I mean, like, I've been on numerous projects, have written the program, I've never been on a project in over 20 years where the owner, from the very top, from Russ Cox, being at our meetings, like that has never happened before with someone that high up coming to, and consistently, not just one time, consistently coming to meetings.
So let me jump in because I want to take us to a break in a moment. But I think it's clear and it's established that, yeah, intentionality is important, and it is the owner's role to set that tone, create that culture, and be intentional about the minority inclusion. Because on one hand, you can state it as a policy. We won't achieve 15% minority participation, 5-10% for women. But, you know, where's the teeth in that? What really makes that happen? There has to be accountability toward that. But you cited a few examples. Carl, I'm glad you mentioned the Norton Hospital, because that's a great example of the leadership there, Russ Cox and Anthony Mathis, and having you guys and others, you know, One West is involved. And so I've been around long enough to see projects like that. You mentioned the Urban Leagues project. I know Sadiq was set high goals and expectations for minority inclusion and required it. You know, we were instrumental during my time at the Urban League with building the Yum Center. And it was all about minority inclusion there. And there, the arena authority, the chairman at the time, Jim Host, working with others like William Summers V and many others, that committee required it, and they met the goal. So that's a given. But I think what I've been hearing and following you guys from a leadership standpoint is there's other owners out here that don't demonstrate that kind of commitment. So that's kind of a battlefront. I'm trying to define what our battle lines are, is how do we address those other owners? Because, you know, we talk about owners, that's not monolithic. You got some like government owned, you've got other private entities that own, you've got some that care, some that don't care. Bottom line is, if you own a project, I mean, think about it from a business standpoint. You want to get your project done as quickly and as cost effectively with all the quality standards being met as possible. That's your objective. Now, you want to get the inclusion and you want to address some of these social issues. But I'm going to define another battlefront before we go to the break, and that is the health of our minority community, our minority construction and supplier development entities. Because, you know, you guys are veterans. You know the game is real plain. You know, we tried to include minorities. We had our good faith effort. We had a meeting. Did nobody show up? You know, we sent out a mailing. We didn't get any responses. And so we're going to talk about the health of our community in terms of construction, minority construction, and who's on the battlefield addressing that. You know, we want to certainly kudos to Yvonne Smith and Donovan Taylor over at One West with Plan Room. We know that that's happening. Certainly you guys with 7 p.m. The Urban League has the Kentuckiana Builds. working with the workforce side of construction. So we want to talk about those issues. But before we get into it, we got to pay some bills. So I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to open the lines as well. But I want the conversation to shift on us. What do we need to do to make sure we're ready as a community to challenge the status quo around this minority participation and inclusion? So with that, Brother Vince, we'll be right back.
Louisville Central Community Centers is celebrating 75 years of service to the community. LCCC is a